worship as we have this opportunity to do so. We go through and make our announcements every time we gather together. We have that long, lengthy list of brethren who simply need our prayers, but likely are often seeing doctors. And I'm going to fly through these songs real quick and see if I put it in the wrong spot. Anyways, getting back to what I was saying, we have that long listy list of those who need our prayers, often go and see the doctor going forth and seeing specialists, seeing certain doctors that do certain things, that do medication on certain things, that make sure. And some that, at one point or another, we all eventually end up doing, going and seeing the doctor, going and getting checked up, have to go for a certain reason, have to go to a certain specialist. And this morning, I would like to talk about the great physician. Nathan had read from Luke. If you will, open your Bibles over to Matthew chapter 9, reads the other account, Matthew's account, the same situation that was taking place there. Here Jesus making a clear point. Matthew chapter 9, starting there and in verse 9, Matthew chapter 9, and starting with verse 9, Jesus is that great physician. And we all end up needing. It says, and as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting in the tax collector's booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed. Then it happened that as Jesus was reclining at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were dining with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why is your teacher eating with the tax collectors and sinners?" But when Jesus heard this, he said, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous." So this morning I want to talk about the great physician. Jesus is that great physician. That he brings out the point as they're sitting there questioning why he's sitting and eating with these certain people. He claims to be the Messiah. He claims to be Christ and to be the Son of God. Why would someone like that be with these people who are obviously the low life, are obviously bad people, are obviously caught up in sin, and people, everyone in the city knows that they are drunks, that they are harlots, that they are the tax collectors, and how they do wrong and take more than what they are told and commanded to take. And why would they do that? Again, Jesus came down for this reason. In Matthew chapter 1 and in verse 21, Matthew chapter 1 and reading there in verse 21, it says, "She will bear a son, you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins." Again, as we go forth and look at it, Jesus is that great physician. That there is the sin that needs to be forgiven, the spiritual sickness that we have. And Jesus is the one that can take care of it. I want to look at the point of asking, well, who is our Lord's clients? Who is the ones that can come to our Lord? In Psalm 34, verse 6, Psalm 34, and looking there in verse 6, as it reads here, it says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his struggles, all his troubles. And so here it brings out that the poor man was able to cry out to God, cry out to the Lord, and the Lord saved him. In John chapter 4, John chapter 4 and looking there in verse 46. John 4 and looking in verse 46. It says, therefore he came again, Cana of Galilee, and he made the water wine, and there a royal officer whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and was imploring him to come down to heal his son, for he was at the point of death. And Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you simply will not believe. The royal official said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. And Jesus said to him, go, your son lives. The man believed the words Jesus spoke to him and started off. And even a royal officer, someone that is higher up, you know, whether rich, whether poor, all are welcome to come to our Lord. In Mark chapter 1, looking at verse 32, everyone is welcome to our Lord. Mark 1, verse 32, as we read here, and it says, when evening came and after sun had set, they began bringing to him all who were ill and those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city had gathered at the door, and he healed many who were ill, various diseases, and cast out many demons. And he was not permitting the demons to speak because they knew who he was. And we know, as Jesus lived his life upon this earth, he was able to physically heal people. Those who were lame were able to walk again. Those who were blind were able to see again. Those who were caught up with demon-possessed, they were cast out. Those who were caught up with leprosy were healed. Those who simply, were physically ill, Jesus went about walking, and people tried to be able to just touch him, or whether it be in the shadow of him or his apostles, he had the power to heal the physical sick. But it goes beyond being the great physician. But when we think about who it is that can come to the Lord, they were bringing everybody to him. And who is it that can come to God needing their spiritual sickness cleansed? Everybody is welcome. As Peter, of course, well, before he was sent to the house of Cornelius, had his dream, had his vision three times. And then he gets to Cornelius' house and listens to what Cornelius had heard from the angel and what was told to him. And so he began to speak to them, and he perceived what that God shows no partiality, that he desires all to be saved. As we go to 2 Peter 3:9, he desires all to come to repentance. So who is the Lord's clients? Any who is willing to come to him. Any who is willing to go to the great physician and ask for his help. Now, we have to be willing to do that. Again, I've kind of already pointed to it as I'm talking, but what is his specialty? What exactly is our Lord a physician of, and we've been pointing it out throughout the lesson, but he cleanses the sins. Going back to Psalm 34, verse 6 again, as the poor man cried out, it said his sins were forgiven. His sins. That's what we need forgiveness of. Our sins need to be washed away. You turn back to John chapter 4, verse 46.
I got a feeling I wrote down this.
Is not what I wanted on this point. That's not what it was. Turn along with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I copied the same point in my notes. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Turn along with me there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and looking with me in verse 9. What does our Lord, who is our Lord offering to come to him? What is he forgiving? It says here, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. This is what our Lord has come down to be a great physician of, to heal those who are sinners, those who are unrighteous, that are spiritually ill, spiritually sick, that need to come to him and seek out his forgiveness. And that's what he's able to do, because verse 11, speaking to the brethren in Corinth, he says, such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Jesus came down so that they could be saved, because the world is in sin. Jesus is a specialist in forgiving sins. He is there so that our sins can be washed away, so that our sins can be cleansed, so that we are no longer caught up in this sickness. If you turn along with me to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. If you're following along in the notes, I know that things ain't going to line up at this point. So I apologize. James chapter 5, as it reads here, and it brings out, as they are caught up in sickness, it brings out in verse 13, if any among you suffering, right, suffering, then he must pray. If anyone's cheerful, he is to sing praises. In verse 14, if anyone among you sick, then he must call for the elders of the church, that they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And so here it brings out that those who are suffering, let them pray. But those who are sick, call on the elders so that they can pray, so that they can help you. But here it's not the physical sickness that is taking place, because as you read further along, it talks about their sins being forgiven. In verse 15, it says, in prayer of offense, offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he's committed sins, they will be forgiven. And so again, the sickness is our sins. It's a spiritual sickness. We have separated ourselves from God. And so the Lord specializes in getting us better from unrighteousness, from lawlessness, from our spiritual sickness. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. He restores us from spiritual death. For the wages of sin is death. And when we obey the gospel, we are raised up in newness of life. And so here we see that the Lord specializes in helping us out of our sins. So we go on to ask, well, what is the Lord going to prescribe? What is the prescription that he gives? What is the advice that the Lord will give us so that we can be better? For again, a point that kind of been pointed to as we've been going through the lesson, well, you have to be willing to go to him. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, it says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Lord says, come unto me, come to me, and I will give you rest. Learn from me. Hear what I have to say. And so we have to be willing to go to them. Again, we get caught up and we are ill and we are sick and we're trying to figure out what is wrong with us, or we're in pain. We don't know what's wrong. Often we push off going to see the doctor. We push off going and see what needs to be done. Again, I had done that when I had broken my arm. You know, I heard it. 1 week went by, and I'm like, well, I'll give it a week, and I'll probably get better. I didn't realize that. And then the next week, we was on vacation. I was like, I'll be fine. It still hurts. Finally get back, and I was like, all right, well, it's not going away. I'll have to set up an appointment. So the appointment was another week out. And he just keeps on pushing on. But until I finally went and got an x-ray, I'd have never known that my arm was broken. It's just been pain. There's something wrong there. We eventually need to go to the physician. We need to go to the doctor. We need to go to the Lord and open up his word so that we can know what is wrong, know what sin is, so that we can know what it is he desires and tells us that we need to do. Romans 10 and verse 17, faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we do not obey his word, we do not listen to what he has to say, then how will we ever get better? But it also means we have to trust him. You have to be willing to trust the doctor that you're going to and what he says. You know, it does no good to go and see a physician, go and see the doctor, and then you go forth and just ignore everything he has to say. You know, all the time that he has spent going to college and studying other doctors and learning, and the time that maybe if he's an older doctor, then the time that he's already been doing and seeing cases like yours time and again, and then we just sit there like, you know, we don't know what he's talking about. I can prescribe what I need to do, what's wrong with me. I Googled it myself, and I know what is wrong. I'm going to take my Googling over what the doctor knows. We don't trust in the physician. We're not going to act upon what good does the good go to? That's the same thing with our Lord. People think they know the way that's right in their own hearts. Hebrews 11, verse 6 tells us, without faith, it is impossible to please him. If we do not believe in our Lord and trust in him, that when he points us in a direction, he tells us what needs to be done in order to get better, in order to be saved, so that you do not die from this disease. We don't follow his instructions. What good is it going to do? What good is it to go further and say, well, what is it that he suggests? What is it that he says needs to be done so that you can get better? So understand, you have to be willing to listen to him. You have to be willing to trust in the Lord. Have faith in him, and he will tell us that we need to put the bad habits behind us, that we need to make sure that we stop going in the wrong direction. You know, the same thing as you would go to a doctor and you get caught up and he talks about your weight and that might help you with your health, and he tells you you need to stop eating this, start doing a little exercise. Or someone who gets cancer, he tells you you need to stop smoking, or someone has problems with their lungs, tells you stop drinking. And the Lord tells you, if you want to get out of your sin and get caught, get a better life and be ready for that day in which the Lord will return, he tells us we need to stop in the path that you're in and turn to him. Acts 2, and in verse 38, tells us, Peter said to them, repent. Repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Again, here we must repent. We must stop going in the direction that caused us this spiritual sickness, that has caused us this spiritual deadness. We must stop. And we must go the other direction. We must turn to our Lord. We must turn to him. Be willing to look to Christ. Again, going back to the point of being willing to trust him and listen to him. I meant to add that we need to be willing to call on him. Turn to Romans chapter 10. As we talk about confessing our faith, Romans chapter 10. Start up in verse 8 with me. It says, but what does it say? The Lord is near you and in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as the Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth confess, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Again, what does he suggest? That we call on him. And we confess our faith unto righteousness. We need to be willing to look to the Lord, and we continue to search the scriptures and diligently be in them. But as we turn and we start exercising, we start doing what is right, he also prescribes us to tell us that we need to be baptized to get rid of that sin. You know, we have to sometimes take some medication to get rid of our sickness, to get rid of our illness, to make sure that we can put it behind us. We sometimes take certain things to get rid of the pain that we are in. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 21, 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, it says, corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of dirt of the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Again, baptism. Baptism is what is going to save you. And we go back to Acts 2:38, repent every one of you and be baptized for the remission of your sin. Baptism. Jesus, the great physician, says if you want to be out of the spiritual death that you're in, if you want to get out of this sickness of being down all the time and thinking on the wrong things, here, I will point you in the right direction to help you meditate on what is good, to see that you can go on rejoicing always. Be baptized in the blood of Christ will wash your sins away. We need the blood of Christ. We just took the Lord's Supper. And when the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper, and he said the body, which is sacrificed, represented by the bread, and the blood, which was shed for your sins, represented by the food and wine. We need the blood of Christ. And the only way to reach that blood of Christ is to be immersed as you believe that Jesus died for your sins, that he is the Son of God, that he did resurrect, that he ascended into heaven, that he can forgive your sins. Upon that faith and obedience to that, your sins will be forgiven. You will be made whole. You will be made better. Again, it doesn't end there. We can't just stop and say, things are making me better. And then you go back to that lifestyle. You go back to the same thing that caused you harm, that caused you to get hurt, that caused you to get sick. Revelation 2 and verse 10 tells us, in order to receive that crown of life, in order to make it to heaven, one must remain faithful until death. Remain faithful until death. And then you'll receive that crown of life. Meaning, the things we need to continue to do, we need to continue to study the Word of God. Continue it. Don't just go to the doctor once, but continue to study what our Lord wants us to do, what he has commanded us to do. 2 Timothy 2 and in verse 15, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. We need to make sure we continue in that. Not only that, we need to pray. Continuously praying, right? 2 Thessalonians 5. Or 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Ephesians chapter 6, put on the armor of God. Make sure you wear it all. And then at the very end, it tells us praying always, always in prayer. You need to put these things on if you want to continue to live a healthier life as a Christian. Then you need to continue to pray. Continue to make sure you're ready in all things. And with that prayer, if you go back to James chapter 5, again, as it pointed out that you call on the elders to pray for you, but then we are to pray for one another. James chapter 5, reading further beyond the verses we read in verse 16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Again, we lean on each other, that we can hold each other up, help one another. We want to stay out of that sickness, stay in a better life, stay healthy spiritually, then we need to continue to pray, we need to continue to study, and we need to continue to surround ourselves by one another. Continue to make sure we're here when the doors are open in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, and looking there and in verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope. We've called on the name of the Lord. We've accepted his grace. We've been baptized and washed our sins away. Now it says, hold fast to that without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us
Consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. And understand, if this is what I need to do to help you, then I need you to do this to help me. That I need you to consider how to stir up love and good works, to stimulate each other. In verse 25, not forsaking our own assembly together, as in the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The Lord says we need to make sure we're here together. Because we encourage each other. We help one another. We encourage love and good works. We teach and admonish one another as we sing these psalms. We take the Lord's Supper, seeing that we're not the only one that needed forgiveness. I am here with my brethren who all have come to the Lord and call on His name. And remembering what it is He had done for us. There are things we can continue to do to help us to stay spiritually healthy. Final point I want to make this morning is asking the final question, because as we go to the doctor and we visit, there always comes the point of question of what is the cost going to be? How much is this going to cost me? How much are they going to charge me? What is my premium? How much is my deductible? What needs to be done in order to pay for all this? And the answer again comes back to our Lord and Savior saying, He has already paid the cost. He Himself is willing to was willing and has paid the cost for us. If you're still in Hebrews chapter 10, go back up to verse 4. Hebrews 10 and verse 4. It says, "For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when He comes into the world, He says, 'Sacrifice and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you have taken no pleasure.' Then I said, 'Behold, I have come. In the scroll of the books it is written of me to do your will, O God.' After saying above, 'Sacrifice and offerings, a whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you have not desired nor have taken pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law.' Then He said, 'Behold, I have come to do your will.' He takes away the first in order to establish the second. By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Again, for who? For everyone. What was the cost? The offering of Jesus Christ. It says the blood of bulls and goats, the sacrifices that under the old law that they got caught up in doing. God didn't take pleasure. One sacrifice, one payment for everything—the blood of Christ. Again, something we'll better understand in 1 Peter chapter 1, because we haven't gone through. We weren't in the old law where we made those sacrifices of blood and goats. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, it says here, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver and gold." We can relate to that a little bit better. Oh, how much silver and gold everybody's got, but we understand. Money and how it costs. Everything costs money in order to pay for something. You know a doctor's visit isn't going to be cheap. But here it says, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver and gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood as the Lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. Jesus paid it all so that your sins could be forgiven. And so I ask the question this morning, do you need the great physician? Do you need to come to the Lord and ask for His forgiveness? If it is sin in your life after you've already obeyed the gospel, you need to go to God and turn down. Asking Him for forgiveness, asking Him for help to overcome these trials and temptations. If you need the help of your brethren, we're here to aid and assist, to pray with you, to study further with you, to do whatever we can to help hold you accountable. We're here, you have not obeyed the gospel. You have not come to Him and been baptized and washed your sins away. We encourage you to do that this evening. Come to Him and allow Him to heal you so that you will be made whole. If there's anything we can do, will you let it be known? Stand.